Just like to say for those who may be watching and wondering, amen, my schedule is that I will be back ministering 2 weeks from today, which will be September the 18th. That's the schedule, amen. So as the Lord wills, amen, we shall follow it, amen. All right, in the meantime, the message is more important than the messenger. Amen. And we thank God that we are privileged with such great enlightenment. Yes. The mystery, that which was revealed to the Apostle Paul. Hallelujah. For the grace church and the grace dispensation. Let us sit prayerfully now as Deacon Gavin shall come to us, amen, with this glorious message of God's amazing grace. Let us receive now both the message, the messenger, that is, but more importantly, the message.
Yes, sir.
Very hearty, amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Be encouraged, saints. Be encouraged. As our elder sister Karen Liverman mentioned in her last outing and others before that, we win. Irregardless of what our situation, irregardless to what our predicament, irregardless to what our temporary earthly standing status, or rather our state and status on earth, we win because of who we are and who we belong to. I want you to join me in a word of prayer before we go into the message for God's enablement in this truth. Righteous Lord, our God and our Father, Lord, we just come again to thank you, praising and blessing you, Lord, for your goodness and for your grace, for your people, O God, and those listening ears. Hello. In our immediate presence, Lord, and those who will listen in on the web broadcast, our website. We thank you, Lord God, for that truth which you've given us, Lord, and we pray great illumination and enlightenment that your people, my God, be informed as to who we are and whose we are. What's ours according to all the truth that thou hast given, and Lord, blessing us in it through enlightenment and enablement. Now bless us on into this message, Lord. Bless your people everywhere, we ask it in Jesus' righteous name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're certainly praising God for our pastor, and we're going to need him today in the absence of our elder Liverman in the helping of us in the reading of the scriptures. But we're going to have him in a waiting mode now because I'm going to help. I want you to turn with me onto the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verses, we'll begin at verse 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. And we are yet speaking from, or in light of, the document, God's sovereignty in election to salvation. God's sovereignty in election to salvation. And we admit that it is not a doctrine that is widely or even accepted by the majority of God's people. But we are here to relay and relate truth, the truthfulness of that which is given to us and what we understand and more so is spoken to us in God's word as this dispensation. Now, I'm going to do more teaching today than preaching, whatever the difference may be ascertained to each individual. We're going to be in teaching mode because God's people need to be taught God's word rightly divided. Rightly divided. Many of God's people do not adhere to God's sovereignty in election or choice because they have not given themselves or been enabled of God to rightly divide God's word. Most of God's people, and you're going to hear that term consistently and continually today, because that is who we are speaking to, God's people. Amen. Let me make that plain. Amen. Many of God's people have not rightly divided the scriptures, so they have salvation all over the place, and the primary place, which is where it's not, is in time. Its enactment is not in time. God's sovereignty. Sovereignty means God's supreme power and authority. In election, the act, election is the act or the instance of choosing. It is choice. And in the very nature of choosing, some are chosen, or there are those that are chosen, and of necessity, others are not. Otherwise, you'd group all absolute, but some are chosen. Two were chosen to salvation. Salvation is our eternal relationship or our sonship positioning in Christ. It is deliverance from sin and its consequences. It is preservation from or deliverance from hurt, ruin, harm, or ultimate. In the end, ultimate loss, not the elect of God. We are saved from ultimate ruin or loss. We are safe. We are safe. Now, I chose, there that word is again, I chose to present to you also an alternate rendering from the document that the Lord gave our pastor, Elder George Cutler, to write. That is the document I just gave the title of, God's Sovereignty in Election to Salvation. As an alternate amen or subheading, I want to present to you understanding the sovereignty of God in election to salvation through rightly dividing the scriptures, or rightly dividing the scriptures. Understanding the sovereignty of God in choice, choosing, electing to salvation through rightly dividing the scriptures. Let me read from a portion of this document that the Lord gave our pastor Ella Cutler to read, to write. God's Sovereignty in Election to Salvation. The Grace Gospel Church Ministry believes and teaches the absolute sovereignty of God in election of individuals to salvation. We believe that our designated assignments of God to everlasting life were preordained or determined in eternity. We didn't just become in time because of what we did. Irregardless of what we did, whether we tarried, whether we were on the mourner's bench, whether we recited the sinner's prayer, or whether we shook the preacher's hand, or whatever we did to, as we assume, be saved, it was just God's process of carrying us through in infantile understanding, but we were already children of God eternally, and we're going to scripturally show that we were. God took us through those things in process, but we did not come to know the Lord, amen, unless we were eternally chosen in him. And the processes were testimony of the actual. We were designated in assignments to everlasting life, preordained in eternity before the creation of the world. We fully realize that this doctrinal position has been disputed and contested from the time our beloved Apostle Paul wrote his epistles unto the present, and will continue to be debated up to the moment our Lord Jesus Christ comes for his church, which is the body of Christ. There's a designation that you won't find in any of the other dispensations and covenants, but the grace dispensation and covenant, the church, the body of Christ. The writings herein are intended to allow the scriptures, the word of God, properly exegeted. Word exegete means to explain, exegete, explain or bring out, bring out the literal meaning, or through interpreting or properly interpreting the scriptures. Proper interpretation. Rightly dividing the scriptures. To convey the truth, that is, to God's people, in love. We pray that God will give illumination and elucidation. In other words, that which makes things clear. Elucidation according to his will. We only ask that God's people will read our commentary of the following verses of Ephesians chapter 1, as well as other supporting scriptures, with an open heart, and give all the praise and all the credit to him, God, for his magnificent deeds. And in our teaching today, we're going to use a document in the form of a chart to help us, which God gave again our pastor Ella Cutler to devise, a chart regarding dispensations and covenants, or the dispensational and covenantal divisions of the Bible. Most of God's people take the Bible, lump it all together, and assign to themselves that all of it is unto them to follow or keep. But, amen, there is a portion of the scriptures that is unto us, even though all of the scriptures are for us or for our benefit, praise God, and not for our benefit of learning what to do, but rather for our teaching. That Greek word that said the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that word, that Greek word, is not learning, it is for our teaching, that we may know what to teach and where to properly teach from. And when we do go into other portions of the Bible, which we'll see, we will use them for our teaching, not for them necessarily to teach us, but for our teaching in that which is for, or rather unto us, even including that which is for us. We teach that primarily that which is to us. And we're going to see what that is. Have you turned with me to Ephesians chapter 1? We're going to begin at verses 1, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1. And I know I want to go down to verse 4. And our other scripture, main scripture text, will be Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to start out with verses 1 through 3. But first, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, and we will take it through verse 4. Again, our pastor is our designated reader, and we will ask him, I will help him in further reading, but we will ask him, if he will, to read verse 1 and 2 of Ephesians chapter 1 from the King James Version, and verses 3 and 4 from both the King James Version and the Greek interlineal text, which we use. It is from the older manuscripts, and he is held closer to giving the right conveyance because he has the Greek word or script right above the English translation. All right, Pastor Cutler, if you will, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 from the King James Version.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1.
Yes.
From the King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
By the will of God.
By the will of God.
To the saints which are at Ephesus. And to the faithful in Christ Jesus.
And to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, all creation is in our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. But we are in Christ Jesus personally as body members, members of the body of Christ, and we're not speaking physically, we're speaking spiritually. All creation is in and under the auspices and control of the eternal Lord. Remember how David said unto God, whither shall I go from thy spirit? And he mentioned the different places or dimensions. Go into the heavens, you're there. Make my bed in the lower parts of the earth, you're there. In the heavenlies, hallelujah, and in every place God is. But we are personally in the Lord Jesus Christ as body members. You can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, amen, for that enlightenment and scriptures. All right, Pastor, verse 2.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2 from the King James. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father.
Grace unto you and peace from God our Father.
And from the Lord Jesus Christ.
And from the Lord Jesus Christ. You will hear much about grace throughout all of Paul's writings because that is the dispensation that we are in and under, and that is the covenant that was given to us in this dispensation, which has been in existence in manifestation for about 2,000 years now. And we're going to go to this chart of dispensations and covenants to give light unto God's people, or rather information unto God's people, that this Bible has to be divided according to dispensations and covenants if we are to have proper understanding and comprehension of the truths that are throughout, amen, the Bible itself, and especially in our dispensation. And much confusion and much denial has gone on amidst and amongst God's people because they have not given to right division of the scriptures. They deny election. They deny our eternal secure position in Christ Jesus. And also, God's people are shaky regarding their final amen manifested placement in Christ Jesus, or manifested being in Christ Jesus. Now, I've used two terms. I haven't used the other one yet. Manifestation and actualization. I want to give the meanings of these two terms. Manifestation and actualization. Actualization is in what God has said. And here's the meaning of actualization. Actualization is to bring into being or cause to exist. God as creator, he is not one of the creators and the devil another. God is the creator, and he has caused everything that is to exist, or he brought it into being through a saying. Referencing Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. It is exists that which exists as a fact or real. It is existing in the present, the eternal present, and is manifested in the created entity. God created time for testimony or manifestation of that which he had spoken through a saying, Hebrews 11 and 3, into existence. He created time and creatures to manifest or give testimony to what he has created or called into existence by a saying. Saints, God is unlimited in everything. He is not limited in anything. Nothing is God limited. We are limited in everything in this venue of time and physicality and temporality. But God is limited in nothing. We can talk all day and still don't get things accomplished. God, through one saying, accomplished in or brought into existence everything that he had purpose or intended. Now, manifestation. Manifestation, on the other hand, is that which you can see, that which is revealed of God. God reveals that which he has spoken into existence in eternity, and he created the temporariness of time to manifest or show or reveal that which he has already determined eternally in eternity. Actually, again, actualization is that which is, that which causes a thing to exist, or that which brings a thing into a being or existence. Manifestation, on the other hand, is that which God exposes to us in physicality, temporality, in time, to see according to what he has determined. All right, Pastor, verse 3 and 4, both from the King James and from the Interlinear Greek text.
Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, First from the King James.
Yes.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Now that verse, Pastor, from the Interlinear Greek text.
Now verse 3 from the Interlinear. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ.
Of the Lord of us, and it names him Jesus Christ. He's our Lord. He is our owner and boss. He calls the shots. Not most of them, all of them. All right, Pastor?
The heaven blessed us.
Him.
With every blessing spiritual.
Every blessing spiritual. having blessed us. That is in what we call the aorist tense. The aorist tense is a completed action. And it is always in completion. Always having been completed. And the only venue that you can have an entity that was always in completion, never not in completion, even though our finite minds cannot comprehend it, is eternity. That's where everything abides in completion. He, having blessed us eternally in every blessing spiritual. Finish that verse, Pastor.
In every blessing spiritual, in the heavenlies,
in Christ. Now, God does bless us in time, in provision, food, clothing, houses, dwellings, and the like, substance. God blesses us in the temporariness of time, and these are all temporary blessings. This is not our home. We do not, members of the body of Christ, we do not eternally, amen, abide here as our venue. There are those that are assigned eternally to the earth, but all creation is ours. Everything in Christ, and all creation is in Christ. So, saints of God, the devil does not have your stuff. He doesn't have it. Our actual, not fading, not failing, our actual true blessings are spiritual, like we in our actualized essence are. We are spirit in the spirit being of our Father who is God, even members of Christ's body eternally. We are spirit. We were placed in bodies for testimony. Reference Hebrews chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Christ took on a body for the suffering or the manifestation or testimony of the suffering of death. God gave bodies unto the children, us, for testimony of what he had predetermined for us to go through, experience, and come to acknowledgement of what actually is. Amen. We were placed in weak, fleshly, perishing bodies. In a weak, vain, perishing entity of time and physicality. We are God's eternal spiritual children. All right, Pastor, verse 4. First from the King James, Pastor.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, first from the King James.
Mm-hmm.
According
as he has chosen us in him.
Before the foundation of the world.
Yes.
That we should be holy and without blame before him.
Uh-huh.
In love.
Now, verse 4 from the interlinear Greek text, Pastor.
Now, verse 4 from the interlinear.
Uh-huh.
As he chose us. In him.
Not choosing us. As he chose us. In eternity. In him. In Christ. Selected us. From others. He chose us. In him.
Before foundation of world.
Get this. Before foundation or creation of world.
Being
chosen, being at that time
us holy and unblemished before him.
We are unblemished because we bear the righteousness of Christ. We are members of his body. We were chosen unblemished. The way blemishes manifest is in the created entity of time, and we being placed in bodies in that created entity and assign a sinful nature via in process by decree, but in process via our foreparent according to the human anatomy, which is Adam. Adam sinned, and therefore sin manifested unto all his progeny, of which all mankind sprang from two parents, Adam and Eve. Now, our next main verse, before we go into proving and informing that the Bible has to be rightly divided according to dispensations of and covenants for God's people to comprehend and understand the truths of the mystery, our gospel. If we understand the scriptures, amen, as they are in the various dispensations and covenants, then we will be able to comprehend that we are in a different dispensation and we have a different covenant from God or with God. All right, Pastor, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Let's go right into the interlinear Greek text, Pastor, if you will.
Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, from the
interlinear. Yes, indeed.
Of this, by reason of, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ,
sitting Jesus. In jail, a prisoner in a Roman jail or according to Rome, but yet he acknowledged that he is more a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Saints, you likewise, in these bodies, with your bills, with your problems, with your aches, with the occurrences of your life and our life, we are actually, and more, who we are as body members in the body of Christ eternally than we are if we were standing in court with our hands behind our backs in shackles. Paul was in jail when he wrote this, but he acknowledged above his earthly physical circumstances of being in jail and being a prisoner that he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And we all belong to Christ more than we belong in physicality to one another, to our jobs, to our circumstances. We belong actually, there's that word, more to Christ than anything else in creation. We are members of Christ's body, more so than losing our homes, than having to file bankruptcy, than starving. All of that is temporary, but our eternal abode in Christ is just that, eternal. Read on, Pastor Cutler. And he is a prisoner of Jesus Christ.
On behalf of you,
as he's writing to the Ephesian church specifically, but generally and abundantly and above that, he is on behalf of the nations. All whom God had chosen eternally in Christ throughout the nations, predominantly, not exclusively, because Paul himself was a Gentile, predominantly from among the Gentiles. Verse 2, Pastor.
Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2.
Now here it is.
Interlinear.
Mm-hmm.
If indeed ye heard the stewardship.
If indeed ye heard the stewardship.
Of the grace of God.
Or the dispensation or the administration. Those three words are synonymous. Stewardship, dispensation, administration, or house rule. All four of them. They're synonymous. They are speaking to the same thing. If indeed ye heard, and this is in the aorist tense, God had pre-assigned them to hear, and they heard it. The stewardship or dispensation of the grace of God. Not the law, not the kingdom, but the grace of God Paul is speaking of. What else, Pastor?
Given to me for you.
And he spoke of the nations, not just the Ephesian church, but the nations, predominantly speaking unto the Gentiles, predominantly the grace of God, the stewardship or dispensation of the grace of God given to me, not Peter, not James, but given to me, Paul said, for you, the nations, predominantly the Gentiles, the stewardship. All right, Pastor, read on.
That is verse 3, that by way of revelation.
By way of revelation.
Was made known.
Was made known.
To me the mystery.
To me the mystery. Uh-huh.
As I previously wrote.
As I previously wrote in brief. The mystery. That volume of truth that was hidden from ages and from generations. That's why it's called a mystery. Until the Lord Jesus himself revealed it unto the Apostle Paul for the grace church, which is Christ's body. It is ours. It is truth that is not just for us, as all the biblical truth is. I want to say that again. All the Bible truth is for us. But the mystery truth is that in the grace dispensation, or as he says, stewardship of the grace of God, we're in the grace dispensation, grace stewardship, grace administration, grace house rule. This truth is not just for us, it is specifically to us. Now, reading again. In order to properly or rightly understand the workings of God in the Bible, understand the workings of God in the Bible, one must at least, that is, for accurate interpretation, an understanding of abiding in a secure and confident hope while going through this earthly, physical, temporary existence, one must do these or have them done. Adhere to these three means of assessing biblical truth. All of the Bible is true and truth. But in order to properly understand the scriptures, one must rightly divide the scriptures according to dispensations and the covenantal arrangements of God with his elect in each dispensation. If you do not, confusion is the obvious result. In Leviticus, the Lord God gave unto Moses to give unto Israel, if it swims in the water and have fins, but don't have scales, It, do not eat it, the 11th chapter of Leviticus. It is an abomination unto you. Don't eat it. Paul, in the grace dispensation, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25, writes, if it is sold in the shambles or the meat market, eat it. Asking no question for conscience sake. Not your conscience. Conscience is awareness and knowing. Not your conscience, but the conscience of him that is weak and believing that those things might have been offered unto idols. But unto you that have knowledge is meat. That's all it is. It's meat or substance from the body, because the idol is nothing. We have one Lord, Jesus Christ, one God, our Father, our eternal, spiritual, heavenly Father. Secondly, we must follow the threefold method of scriptural exegesis, bringing out the literal meaning through literal interpretation, and in what the portion we call the New Testament, and which also houses the Grace Testament, those 14 epistles that our resurrected, glorified Lord Jesus gave unto the Apostle Paul through revelation that were hidden from ages and from generations. He did not give them to Peter and the rest of the 12, but they were reserved unto the Apostle Paul for the Grace Church. The Grace Church had not even been manifested when the Lord was in concert and teaching and abiding with the 12 apostles. He did not reveal it unto them because it was not for them. We must follow the threefold method of scriptural exegesis. Again, bringing out the literal meaning, not to become children of God. As we saw, we became eternally. We were chosen in him before the foundation or creation of the world. So not to become who we are, who we actually are, but to understand who we are and from whence we came. And to know that regardless to how long we tarried, or how many preachers' hands we shook, or how long we were on the mourner's bench, or how many sinner's prayers we recited, it did not change, add to, nor negate who we actually already were. We were chosen in him before creation or before the laying down of the foundation of the world. Amen. The threefold method of scriptural exegesis is historical, knowing what dispensation and covenant we are reading from in the scriptures, in the Bible. Contextual, not just jerking out one verse and running with it. That's how many denominations were started, on one verse. We contextualize. One of the worst things we can do to a person is take what they are saying out of context. They mean it one way, what they are saying, and we take it out of context. So scripturally, same thing, same principle. We go up a little if we have to, and we go down a little if we have to from the verse that is in question. We contextualize to get the thought conveyance. And next is the grammatical. The Bible, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. What we call the New Testament, in which is also the Grace Testament, those 14 epistles that are resurrected again, Lord Jesus Christ revealed to the Apostle Paul. It was written in Greek. And we go to the grammar to ascertain what is actually being conveyed, whether it's present tense or whether speaking from eternity. And everything actually is from a saying of God. But sometime he is relating in time. And then in the same verse, he might go back and relating to eternity. Those who look in can go to our website, www.gracegospelministry.com, and you can look to the left of the praying hands and you will see a listing of the things that the Grace Gospel Ministry via our pastor that the Lord has given him in setting up this curriculum. You see a listing of the things that are offered within the website, and you will see, amen, doctrines of salvation, and you'll also see biblical writings in there regarding information that was exegeted from the grace scriptures. And if you click go in there, amen, and you click on, I believe, the one of biblical teachings or messages, not messages, but biblical teachings, you will find dispensations and covenants. And you can pull up this chart. And this is what I'm going to go to now. This, according to this chart, that you might understand, come to understand, amen, that the Bible has to be rightly divided in order for us to comprehend who we are and confidently understand who we are, who we belong to, and what portions of the Bible are not necessarily to us, but all of it for us, but not to us as a directive. Do this, then do that. No. That is in one portion of the Bible, the grace dispensation and covenant unto the grace church, which is Christ's body, in this the grace dispensation. What we are to follow as directives, not in the other portions of the Bible, as we will see. Now, I'm coming from the dispensation and covenant charts. A dispensation means simply to dispense or administer an economy. It is an administration or also a house rule. It is also a particular program or set of operating instructions that God dispenses for man's obedience during a time period. A dispensation is not the time period, but it is the directions that God gives with to his elect or to mankind within that time period space. Also, covenant. A covenant is a pledge, allegiance, a contract, or an agreement, or a testament. Old Testament, old covenant. New Testament, new covenant. But in it, in the compilation of our typical Bibles, we have the grace covenant and dispensation couched within the New Testament or the New Covenant. That which was revealed to the Apostle Paul by our Lord Jesus Christ is the grace covenant testament, also called the mystery, because it was hidden from ages and generations, because it wasn't for them, until it was revealed unto the Apostle Paul for us, the grace church, which is Christ's body. If you do not believe me, go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 and verse 24. Or Ephesians chapter 2, chapter 1, verses 22 through 23, and you will see it written, the church, which is Christ's body, or the church, which is his body. Okay, the first one, that we open up with in the Bible in Genesis is innocence. Innocence. And in it, we have the Edenic covenant. I'm going to read from Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, wherein God gave everything conducive to Adam and Eve. Or rather, I'll start reading in the, yes, chapter 2 for the next covenant and dispensation. God gave everything conducive to Adam and Eve in the garden. But he told them, of every tree you may freely eat but one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Let me read it. First, they were in innocence before they had sinned. I'm reading from Genesis chapter 2, I'm beginning at verse 16 and verse 17. Verse 16 and verse 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. This is according to the Adamic covenant. There was a stipulation put on their actions in the garden. This is why, under innocence and conscience, we have a bilateral covenant. God made two types of covenant with man and his elect. Unilateral, meaning no responsibility was put upon man to effectuate or keep or bring about or keep in care the covenant. That's unilateral. But bilateral, man had his obligation given of God what to do and what not to do. And God had his obligation in providing unto man. So, God gave them everything conducive to eat, but he put a stipulation. That's why it's a bilateral covenant. It has a condition. You may eat of every tree, but the one in the midst, in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. That is under the Adamic covenant. Next, we have Genesis 3, 6 through 8. Genesis 3, go there with me and follow along in your Bible, 6 through 8, where they did not obey what God had said. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And here begins the dispensation of conscience. And the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew. Consciousness or conscious means awareness and knowing. If you are unconscious, you know nothing. Unless, like in Paul's situation, he was knocked unconscious physically, but he was given or taken into his eternal spiritual consciousness when he knew where he was and what he heard when he was taken outside of Lystra and stone. And the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. That began the dispensation of conscience, awareness, and knowing. They knew that they were naked. That was also a bilateral covenant. Next, turn with me to Genesis chapter 9. There are seven dispensations and commensurate covenants in the Bible. Every dispensation has three things. Every dispensation has a federal head. Federal means like and of. They are like the others in that dispensation and under that covenant, and they are of themselves that covenant. They are not exclusive of it. They are of that dispensation and covenant themselves. Everyone has a federal head. Federal head of the last two dispensations was Adam. Every dispensation and covenant has a, every dispensation has a contract or a covenant or an agreement or a testament. Every dispensation has that. Every dispensation also has a gospel or good news that God delivers unto man in that dispensation. All right, Genesis 9, verses 8 through 13. And God spake unto Noah, not Adam. God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you of the fowl of the fowl of the cattle and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth, and I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. That is the Noahic covenant, and it is a unilateral covenant. God did not put any stipulations on Noah to effectuate, keep in concert that covenant. God put all the responsibility on him, none upon Noah. Turn with me to Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land I will show you. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I, saith the Lord, will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That is the Abrahamic covenant. It is a unilateral covenant which God put everything responsibility wise on him, and none upon Abraham. Now let's go to Exodus chapter 19. I told you we were going to teach today. Exodus chapter 19, verses 3 through 8. You will be able to ascertain what type of covenant this is from the language. Verses 3 through 8. Exodus 19. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob. Please hear me. Please hear me, people of God. Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. Tell the children of Israel. Yes, there were always Gentiles that would join unto Israel in blessing, and they received blessings according as Israel received their blessings. They were dependent upon Israel receiving their blessings in order to be blessed. Gentiles came out of Egypt, a mixed multitude with Israel. There were those that Peter preached to in Cornelius' household in the book of Acts. It was commensurate with the Abrahamic covenant. In these shall all nations of the earth be blessed. We are not a nation. We are the body of Christ. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, here it is. Here's the language of the basis of the covenant. If God says to the house of Jacob and to Israel through Moses, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then, not before or unless till then, ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. He's speaking earthly. We are members of the body of Christ. Our abode is the heavenlies in Christ. According to Ephesians chapter 1. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. God's people that consider themselves kingdom of priests. Are you Israel? Are you the house of Jacob? No, you are of the nations, Gentiles. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all the words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. But they didn't. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Israel, we are in no way spiritual Israel. We are the body of Christ. We don't need to be spiritual Israel. Well, who we are, body of Christ, we are above all of God's elect, all of God's eternal elect. We are higher position as body of Christ or members of the body of Christ.
I hear you.
We are. That is, if you haven't figured it, a bilateral covenant. If God did his part, they were to do theirs. Now let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. And I want you to see where the kingdom comes in. We are not subjects of the kingdom. Our Lord Jesus is the eternal king over Israel and those joined to Israel in the earth, the eternal earth. But we are not kingdom subjects. You don't have to go out and try to interface or start the kingdom. All is according to God. As we will see right here, the kingdom already is. It just hasn't been manifested. And God does not need our help in the manifestation of it. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 8 to 17. Chapter 7, verse 8 to 17. Now therefore, so shalt thou say, is God speaking to Nathan the prophet, unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee, regarding David, from the sheepcote, from following the sheep to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest. He sure was with David. And have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, even in inclusive of that, and above that, I will appoint a place for my people Israel. Our place is the body of Christ. He's going to appoint a place for his people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own. Our place is the body of Christ. He's speaking of earthly planting here. And move, they will move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies. It wasn't because David was such a great warrior and had all the men of armor to help him. This was according to God. God gave him the victory and the rest. Also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee a house. And when thy days be fulfilled, that thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, Solomon. And I will establish his kingdom, Solomon. He shall build a house for my name, Solomon. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever, Lord Jesus Christ. Solomon did not continue because of death. The Lord is Israel's rightful king. When Pilate brought Jesus out, said, "Behold your king." According to prophecy, Christ was Israel's eternal king. And they say, "We have no king but Caesar." And they rejected their king. That's why the kings came to worship him in the stable. That's why the wise men came to worship him and bring gifts in the stable. Because they had seen the star of the king born, that it would be king over Israel forever. I will be his father and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men. Solomon. You see the Lord going back and forth eternally and manifestation wise. He's speaking of in manifestation Solomon eternally, the Lord Jesus Christ. I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever, Lord Jesus Christ, King or Israel's King, forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. That is in the auspices of unilateralism. God spoke of everything that he was going to do. Now, we'll look at the kingdom. We know that Israel were going to reject their king. Amen. But the Lord had provision for them. I want you to turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 31. And we're going to begin at the 31st verse. In the kingdom, it is a unilateral covenant. That what we just read of 2 Samuel was unilateralism. The Lord kept speaking of what he was going to do. And he put no responsibility in it on David and on Israel. That is speaking regarding the eternal kingdom where Israel would be the head of nations. Lord Jesus will be their king, and they will dwell in an eternal kingdom of righteousness on the earth. This is what Christ said regarding the new covenant. The new covenant, which was to Israel. Behold, the days come. Jeremiah 31, beginning 31st verse. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. How much plainer can it be? With the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. The old covenant, the law. That was what he's referring to. Which my covenant they broke, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I, saith the Lord, will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. That is in the auspices of the unilateral covenant of the kingdom. Now I'm going to ask Pastor Cutler if he'll turn with me one more time to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 from the Greek text, and I will finish and end there. We have seen six. I didn't go into the grace covenant and those things leading up unto it because of time. But we have seen six dispensations and covenants. God did not tell Adam to build a boat. He did not tell Noah to come out from his kindred and his family. He told Abraham. He told Noah to build the boat. He did not tell, praise God, us to come up, or the representative of us, Paul, to come up and receive commandments unto the body of Christ. No, 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 no. We were graced in eternity. Pastor, would you begin reading at verse 1 from the interlinear Greek text of chapter 3? Chapter 3, verse 1.
Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1.
Uh-huh.
Of this by reason of I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus.
Of Christ Jesus.
On behalf of you, the nations.
On behalf of you, the nations, Gentiles, not Israel. Although there were Israelites that are joined to the body of Christ or assigned to the body of Christ, and therefore they lose their ethnic distinction. In Christ Jesus, there's not male and female, according to Galatians, the book of Galatians, there's not male and female, there's not bond and free, there's not Jew and Gentile, we are all one in Christ Jesus. Read on, Pastor.
Verse 2,
If indeed you have heard.
The dispensation of the grace of God.
Dispensation or stewardship or economy or administration of the grace of God. We've been through innocence. We've been through conscience. We've been through human government under Noah. We've been through promise under Abraham. We've been through kingdom. According to our Lord Jesus Christ, Israel's eternal king. Now we are in the grace dispensation and covenant, as it was revealed unto the Apostle Paul. Start at the beginning of that verse one more time, Pastor.
If indeed you've heard. The dispensation of the grace of God given to me.
Dispensation of the grace of God given to me, Paul said. Every dispensation has a federal head. And Paul is a federal head. Not Peter, not James, not John. Paul is the federal head of the grace dispensation. Read. Given to me. For you, this truth, this covenant, this teaching.
Verse 3, that by way of revelation. Was made known unto me. The mystery. As I previously wrote in brief.
It was given by the ultimate authority to the Apostle Paul for the grace church, which is Christ's body. The mystery truth. That is our truth. It is placed and encouched in Paul's 14 epistles, Romans through Hebrews. It is not only for us, as we see the grace, mercy, and kindness of God throughout all the Bible, for us, and giving us more confidence that God is merciful, that he is loving, that he is faithful to his word. But it's also giving us our directives. We were in Christ before the foundation of the world. You didn't get saved, saints. You were always saved. Only one thing, you just didn't know it. And we didn't know it until the Lord revealed himself unto us, in essence saying, yes, you are mine. And scripturally, we were chosen in him before the creation of the world, being his, being holy and unblemished before him in love. Nothing can change that. Nothing can change who we are and who we belong to.